And welcome back to another episode of The Insurance. Me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about Mando Season 3. It's back! After, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I think so. Because Season 1 was 2019, and then they got Season 2 out in, like, 2020, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been a couple years. Granted,
a lot of stuff happened between that.
Yeah.
Show called Book of Boba.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, in terms of, like, Disney's whole Star Wars TV show stuff, yeah, they've been doing a lot of stuff in between seasons of Mandalorian. So, yeah, it's kind of neat to see season 3 out now, you know, first episode.
And can I just say, wasn't a letdown, but it was just okay.
Yeah, I guess it's I guess lukewarm.
Yeah, a lukewarm return after a while.
Yeah, cause I think most people really like Mandalorian season 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. I guess there's sort of a lot of interesting expectations coming out of like the implications of season 2, right?
Yeah, so give us a quick rundown of what happened at the end of season 2.
Well, if I recall correctly, obviously we had Mando giving up Grogu, you know, to Luke Skywalker after being saved. They take in Moff Gideon. Mando gets the Darksaber, you know, sort of setting up a potential rift between him and Bo-Katan and all that stuff. Sort of a lot of interesting, like, areas they could go with in terms of the plot. Granted, as far as I'm aware, some of that stuff was kind of a bit like explored in the Book of Boba show. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of interesting things.
It took you a while, didn't it? But yeah, so what essentially happened was that in Book of Boba. We talked about this, you and me, before, and we'll get into it further on in this episode. With the events of Book of Boba, where it's more centered around Boba Fett, so Mando does show up, Jin, who we're going to call him now, that for a while bit, now, so we know who we're talking about. He's been kind of exiled from his group because he has revealed his face. Rule number one, don't show your face. That is the key thing for everyone. Don't show your face. But he showed it, like, 2, maybe 3 times.
Well, yeah. And granted, you know, that's just due to circumstances. But, yeah, I know his whole order, or just like, nah, man. Once you did it voluntarily and stuff, too. Now you're no longer a Mandalorian now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so that's kind of like what his whole journey is in this one. And obviously, him having the Darksaber has caused a lot of conflict with a lot of people. One, because like since he's no longer with like the group, no one's going to follow him. And he doesn't really gel well with the other sects of Mandalorian culture.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like a weird thing. So even though he has a Darksaber, he could be leading his people. He doesn't really have the...
The authority, right? Yeah.
He has the saber. He has the destined sword of Arthur and all that bullshit. But he ain't got the authority. No one's gonna follow him.
Yeah, unless you're Darth Maul, in which case, you know.
Yeah, that's a different story. Now, of course, where we're starting from this episode is way after Book of Boba, way after season 2. A lot of stuff happens. But essentially, it's majority of setup of what we're going to see throughout this season, you know, how Mando can redeem himself, potential threats, and sort of what he needs to know. Like, it's setting up the fetch quests, I guess. I guess I would say, you know, how in an RPG game.
Yeah, you know, he has his one goal, you know, redeem himself and to be able to be considered a Mandalorian again. He has, you know, the quest he needs to do. And, yeah, it's pretty much setting up, like, yeah, I need to do this, this, and that So I need to get myself ready to go off on this little, you know, side quest, technically, you know, to get myself back into the good graces of the Mandalorians.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, and this is the reason I say RPG, right? Where you complete a certain side quest in order to access the main quest. So that's kind of like what we're seeing right now. Not to say it's not enjoyable. It's good to see, oh my god, I'm forgetting his name. Carl Weathers' character.
Yeah, no, I know you're talking about. He's the Grand Magistrate now of the of their little planet, which is kind of like, it's such a weird transition, because obviously in the first season it's, you know, like a very it's a bounty hunter outpost or whatever, you know, lots of gritty stuff, you know. And then in the second season, you know, it's like, it's improved a bit, and now it's like, even Mando's like, man, this place has changed a lot since the last time we were here, you know?
This is a different set.
Yeah, like, you know, there's, like, schools, and, like, you know, it's a very prosperous place.
There's a lot of greenery, which is something that caught my eye.
Yeah, you know, we went from, like, this very deserty backwater area, and now it's like, oh, there's trees and green and, you know, life here now, you know? It's,
people are happy.
Yeah, like... Heck, he even offers Din Djarin, you know, to like, hey, listen, man, just hang up the boots and the Mando armor and stuff, and, you know, just live out here, you know.
I mean, that's an option, dude.
You can make good money out here, live a decent life, you know, that sort of thing. But obviously, Mando's like, no, I got a job to do. Well, I got something I gotta do, you know.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of good setups into it and stuff. And also, like, setups for potential threats for Mando, because apparently no one's gotten the notice that, hey, it's not a bounty hunter place anymore.
Well, yeah, there's still a couple ruffians that's still, you know, haven't gotten the news. Like, hey, listen, we don't do that here anymore, all right? This is a nice place now. You can't be just running around. Like, it's the old west out here, shooting your guns and stuff.
And can I just say, it's good to see, like, practical creature, I won't say creature effects, but, like...
practical makeup and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've seen that, and that's something I've always kind of looked forward to when it came to Star Wars. It's like, oh, all the practical, aliens.
And effects so and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess there wasn't really a whole lot of that for, I guess the last Star Wars show we talked about, Andor, but then again, Andor was a very, I guess, different type of show, you know?
Yeah, it was very down to earth. It was very, like, people-centered.
Yeah, so not a whole lot of, like, the crazy space adventure stuff that you get with the Mandalorian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, that's, you know, the effects still look good, I feel. And I think, you know, that's just... sort of the way I think Mando has always been, sort of
like, yeah, it's Mando has been like that nice gel between like the crazy Star Wars stuff that we get like within the movies to like the more down to earth stuff, people problems like Andor.
Well, because like I think the whole part of like the whole point of I think the Mandalorian show is just Din is just, like, a character that I think has always been sort of, like, he can just go anywhere, you know, and explore any part of the Star Wars universe. I mean, heck, the first season alone was just pure bounty hunting and, like, all this sort of mystery with Grogu and all that stuff. And then the second season, you start to get a lot more him just sort of interacting with, like, various past Star Wars characters. He meets up with Bo-Katan, meets up with Ahsoka, he meets fucking Luke Skywalker. You know, he's a very versatile character that you can just kind of plop him into, like, any sort of scenario, you know? And it's fun to see him interact with that sort of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's sort of, like, I think the big selling point of that, of the show as a whole, because it's, like, he's the type of character that can just go anywhere and be involved with various sort of things. And I think... it kind of reminds me of Clint Eastwood's character from the
the spaghetti western movies he has.
Yeah, that trilogy.
The Man with No Name.
Yeah, The Man with No Name, you know? Like, there's a whole trilogy of movies about that guy, you know? Like, him always getting into various scenarios and stuff with various different characters. And that's sort of what I feel like what Mando is, you know? He is that character that can be put into various these situations within the Star Wars universe, whether it's the small-scale stuff, like his bounty hunting missions, or even, like, getting to interact with some of the larger Star Wars stuff that we sort of, it's more familiar to modern audiences, like with the Jedis and all that stuff, where it's like, you know, he's that type of character, which I think, you know, it's really fun to see him, like, do that stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. So, obviously, with all that, you know, we're still getting, like, a lot of the crazy stuff. Obviously, we're not going to go further into it, because that's, we just essentially just gave you the whole plot points.
Yeah, right, I mean, yeah, like you said, like, the whole plot of the episode isn't, like, that, like, intrusive, like complicated to explain. It is just, I mean, there are some interesting bits, like, the whole opening is just a big fight with this giant, like, weird alligator monster with all the Mandalorians and stuff. And we do meet up with Bo-Katan and just sort of see her, like, side of the perspective of, like, hey, listen, Mando. He's like, hey, I need your help. I need to get to the Mandalore, you know? And she's like, hey, yeah, no one's going to follow me and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got the dark saber here.
Yeah, no, it's, like I said, it's like, yeah, because he has a saber. Everyone's going to follow him. But again, like I said earlier, you've been disowned, boy.
I mean, yeah, he has been disowned. So... yeah, he's a very, you know, he has a goal, right? Which is, as far as we know, to get to the mines of Mandalore so that he can bathe himself, do this whole ritual thing, so that he can essentially regain his status as a Mandalorian, you know? So, and obviously, you know, like, it seems impossible because after the Empire pretty much just laid waste to Mandalore, like, all the Mandalorians are like, yeah, there's no way of going back. And stuff, but obviously Jin is like, no, I gotta figure this out, right? I gotta, like, listen, if I want to become a Mandalorian again, I need to figure this out.
I will find a fucking way.
Yeah, yeah.
Our creed is, this is the way, and I will find that fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah, this, you know, you keep telling me this is the way, but guess what? I mean, I'm gonna find the way.
Well, that should be the title. I will find the way.
Yeah, just the title for one of the Mandalorian episodes. Like, I'll find the way. I will find the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But yeah, no, it's you know, it's set up for this, for the whole goal of the season, more or less, which, to be fair, that is sort of the thing with, I think, each season of Mandalorian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole main objective of the first season is just to protect Grogu. You know, just, like, kind of figure out, like, what the hell is he? What the hell is he? And, like...
how does he relate to all this stuff?
Yeah. And then, like, obviously, second season is, like, all right, Mando, you gotta, like, find some way to, like, you know, send him off on his own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, Grogu is still here in season 3.
Are we gonna talk about Grogu?
I mean... he's still Grogu, you know?
He's still Grogu. He's doing a lot of cutesy stuff.
Yeah, he's still a cute Yoda baby.
I still don't agree with him bringing him back.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's explained in in the Book of Boba.
Yeah, it is.
Why he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sort of, like, offhanded mentioned in the show in case anyone, like, didn't want to watch the Book of Boba. It's like, Mando's just like, yeah, I completed my quest, but the kid came back to me anyway, so I guess he's just sort of here now with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's one of those things. And, like, not to say I'm not against, like, the idea of, you know, more Grogu. I do like Grogu. The thing is, for me, is that I feel like we completed, you know, a nice story arc, a nice send-off to him, and we had no choice but to regress back.
Yeah.
It feels like a step backwards in progression.
No, I definitely agree with that. You know, you have this whole big emotional moment at the end of season 2, you know, where Mando essentially has to give up this kid, who he's very fond of at this point, you know, to let him live a better life, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, he's still a kid and he has to journey with Mando to be basically. He's a bounty hunter and he's going to be always, you know, doing all this stuff. I don't know. Personally, you know, maybe there could have been, like, interesting ways to, like, have Grogu still be in the show. Maybe just, like, I don't know, every now and again, Mando is allowed to come back to see him during his training and stuff. Then we could get little updates on him and stuff. Although, I'm going to be honest, there is a part of me that feels like half of the reason why they decided to regress that way is because everybody kept on making jokes about, like, oh god, Grogu's going to get murdered by Kylo Ren.
That's the first thing I heard, and I'm like, I don't know. I feel like he could have survived, you know?
Yeah, you know.
But I guess there was no other choice, or I don't know. And
I
don't get
mean,
me. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead,
no,
go ahead.
I feel like obviously like the big reason is probably is always just marketing, you know? Like clearly. Like every like Disney likes, you know, like clearly like marketing purposes, yeah, like obviously you got a lot of people who watch the show 'cause of freaking Grogu and how cute he is. So obviously you want to keep that sort of portion of the audience running around. But you know, yeah, I think you're going to say something.
So what I was gonna say was more onto that, where it's like, you know, clearly they, you know, it's gonna be hard to get rid of him because he's such an integral part of the show. I mean, how often have we compared it to, and I've done it myself to like series to shows like Lone Wolf and Cub, right? Where in that it's a manga where it's a samurai who, you know, takes care of a child and carries him with him everywhere he goes, and it's become such a part of Pedro Pascal's, you know, acting world now that he's doing it again in Last of Us. He's this gruff older person taking care of a child,
Yeah, I
and then you
mean,
see that again, sort of in other series now. So Grogu himself has become integral to as Mandalorian as much as it kind of. I feel like his story, that story arc, is completed now.
yeah, I think I get what you mean with that. Also, yeah, it is kind of like funny that Pedro Pascal is seemingly getting character typecast into being this lone gruff guy who has to take care of a kid.
Ever since I don't even know, like Drew Grit.
I mean, yeah, that's too fair. Again, I mean, you're not wrong too, because you know that is sort of a trope in a lot of things. Like, so I think especially because considering Mando is very sort of Western inspired, yeah, like True Grit is just like, hey, this girl wants to get revenge for what happened to her fucking dad. So she, you know, she literally has to like journey with this older, gruffer dude, you know, to like get that vengeance stuff going. But yeah, you know, it's like there are obviously like I think the big there's like two ways of looking at like why it is how it is with bringing Grogu back. One is the cynical, which is I think how I was looking at it, like it's just Disney marketing, you know, they just want to keep that sort of money train going. And then there's the other like more like, well, like it seems like plot wise, it just seems like Grogu's so fun, it's so integral to Mando's character for now, like legit, like if you're gonna try doing that again, it has to be like the end of the series, right? You know?
Well, because the whole idea is that he's beca that Grogu's become so attached to Jin that, you know, it's kind of hard for him to let go. And he probably wants oh God, I don't want to say it. He's gonna end up like Joel in Last of Us 2.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess, although knowing that the second that there is going to be a second season of Last of Us, and it will cover the Last of Us Part Two, I mean, like I don't like the idea of Pedro Pascal getting his head crushed in twice, on two different shows. Well, actually, no, three different shows, right? Because he was in the Game of Thrones, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what you meant by too. What was the third one?
Well, I mean, potentially third
Oh,
with everything that happens here in
yeah.
Mandalorian. But don't. Well, he has his man. He listen. He has you know Beskar armor here. He can't get his head crushed. No way. No possible.
Now we can get his head cut off. We saw that with Django.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But yeah, Mando's just, no, I think both sort of viewpoints are sort of correct in their own way. You know, it's just one of those things that, like, it lines up perfectly with Disney marketing of, like, yeah, let's just keep Grogu here, keep that green money coming. And then it's like, yeah, but also character-wise, we feel that Mando just works well with Grogu, and we're not, we haven't reached that point yet where we can make it permanent, you know?
I think that's probably the best way to think about it too, because like, a lot of us were thinking about where does the story go on, and like you have, the shit with the Darksaber, and a lot of us were like, oh, are we gonna have a Mandalorian Civil War? And it might just be that from the trailers, because there's a lot of that. Though I will say, it looks like from the trailers, we might get the. Like the backstory of either Grogu or like Carl Vizlar. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The original owner of the Darksaber. I don't know, it just looked like that from the trailers. I might be wrong. But I don't know. I think they're at least gearing up for an interesting role with Grogu and or the Jedi side of Star Wars within Mando.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because obviously we're gonna, like, straight up, we're probably gonna see Mandalore in this season, and it's gonna be interesting how all that sort of, like,
And I don't know, I might be interested to see any other like sects of Mandalorian culture.
yeah, because obviously, like, Bo-Katan has her own. Mando was raised in the, what, I mean, Bo-Katan calls it a very sort of, like, extremist kind of group. So it would be interesting to see what other, like hidden sects of Mandalorians are out there with their own sort of creeds and all that stuff.
We saw an example of that in the beginning of this episode. Some kid was getting inducted.
Well, I mean, no, that was the same group, though.
No, I'm saying like that. We saw a bit of that of Jin's specific group.
You know, their whole thing of, like, hey, you do a whole ritual, you put on the mask, and then it's like you can't take off the mask anymore, kind of thing. But yeah, no, I think getting to see a bit more of Mandalorian culture is going to be kind of interesting to look at. Hopefully we get to see more of that, though. I'll just point that out. But, so if we are, if, since we are going to be going to Mandalore in this season, it wouldn't surprise me if we get more cultural aspects of Mandalorian culture.
Because like I feel like that for some, well, if you weren't already into the deep Star Wars lore, you probably already know a good chunk of it, or like know how it kind of plays out. But for people who aren't no, who have no experience in that, I think this is a great way to introduce them to this stuff like that. Further expand the world and lore of Star Wars, stuff that makes it feel more lived in, right? Because like we've get enough of that from the movies with the Skywalkers and the Jedis and the but that was the one thing great thing about Andor is like, hey, this is like the rebel side of stuff, and by that also the human people side, because like, hey, a lot of fucked up shit's going on.
I mean, yeah, like, it's a very sort of grounded take of, like, oh yeah, no, this is what a totalitarian government like the Empire would be like to live under, and the various sort of costs of what it takes to build a rebellion against that, you know?
And that's why well, I'm forgetting his name again.
Andor?
Yeah, Andor, it's in the fucking
Cassian
name.
Andor, yeah.
Cassian is like how he ended up being part of something and like growing his level of cynicism towards the whole idea of a rebellion. So that in itself is like a really good interesting thing to see. And yeah, I got nothing else to say. It's gonna be a short episode this time.
I mean, yeah, and like we said, it's not, it's more of like there's not a whole lot to talk about because the episode is pretty straightforward in, like, its sort of delivery, you know, of, like, yeah, Mando is going to be going on his quest to redeem himself to be in Mandalorian again, you know? And this is sort of the setup. I mean, we can talk a little bit about, like, the potential of bringing back the IGPX droid, voiced by Taika Waititi, you know?
So that brings me to another thing. I understand that he's the only droid that he can trust, but it's also kind of weird, in my opinion, that we're kind of like bringing back characters.
Yeah, but for me, I don't know, maybe it's just because how I am with robots as characters, in that, I don't know, like, you can always bring a robot back. It's a robot, you know? As long as the processor's there, a robot can come back to life.
It blew itself up.
To be fair, you're not wrong, and the fact that they were just like, oh yeah, we were very lucky to get some parts salvaged, and they build them into like a statue, and Jin just like looks at the statue, like, let's build some of his parts, let's just see if we can take it down and bring him back, you know.
My man's like, it's a statue.
Yeah, but you got some parts that are straight up his parts.
If you think about it, it's a little more grim.
I mean, do we really want to get into the ethics of droids in the Star Wars universe, you know? You know, do droids even have rights? Should there be a droid rebellion, you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. These are questions asked for other people, you know, not us. Because I would just be like, no, robot uprising will destroy all humanity. We can't let the robots win.
But yeah, that's about as much as we can say about this show. Because again, it feels mostly just like set up. So it's just setting up a lot of stuff. And, you know, seeing where things go. Not to say it's a bad thing, but it's a very much a wait-and-see kind of process. I feel like a lot of people feel a little lukewarm to this. It's still a good episode. There's still a lot of good there. You know, it's good to see Grogu being cute again. A lot of cool...
We saw, like, those little weird creatures from, like, episodes...
Nine.
The ones that, like, were reprogramming C-3PO to get, like, that stuff. Now, granted... Maybe this is just me being dumb.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that's like, is it, I know it's the same race, but is that the same guy that helps C-3PO out later in the series? Probably not, right?
I think you're profiling.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not my fault that Star Wars sometimes likes to do a thing where, like, everything's just weirdly, like...
Connected
and centralized. I mean... We can look back at the prequels and how Anakin Skywalker was the one that built C-3PO.
Or the fact that Andor was somehow involved in the creation of his own death.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, sometimes it's just kind of weird.
It's a little weird and ironic, yeah. I get that.
How things are just linked together in weird ways, you know?
Yeah, no, that would be pretty cool. A little weird, but it's pretty okay. It's pretty cool, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, I think that's about as much as we can say. Any final thoughts on this?
I mean, no, I mean, I think I've said my piece. It's a very straightforward episode. It's not, like, I guess it's not like a hype return for Mandalorian. It's very, it's like you said, it's kind of lukewarm. But it's just there to help set up what could hopefully be a very interesting season, because I mean the first two seasons of Mandalorian are good, so you're kind of just hoping that, like,
kind of one of the, I would say, one of the best streaming shows to ever come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to the success of Star Wars as a TV series. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was like the big thing about it at the time when it was first coming out. It's like, holy crap, you know, this is a Star Wars TV show that has, like, a budget, like, has good effects, you know, good storytelling, you know, just all these good things. It's one of the things that, like, I think the fan base was able to agree upon after, like, you know, like, very divisive sequel series, the sequel trilogy, you know, where it's like, oh my god, Disney, you know, got something right, you know, kind of vibes. You know, so I feel like, you know, Mandalorian has that expectation, and hopefully, this third season does well. you know?
I mean, I feel like there it's going to, because it's a lot of like, it's been consistent, right? It's been very consistent. Everything about it was really great. I can barely think of an episode I didn't like in both seasons of Mandalorian. So yeah, I'm totally down to see where it goes, even further. And again, we're talking about the trailer, looks like it's hyping up a lot of stuff. Maybe a battle in Mandalore? I don't know. I can only see what I see. But yeah, I guess that was a good place to end the episode, guys. If you like what you heard, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at TheGeekCenturions. We're most active on Instagram. There you'll find a link to all the podcast sites we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And you'll find a link to the YouTube where we're most at, where you'll find a video version of this episode for all you audio listeners out there. And be sure to like, comment, subscribe. And we do have a Patreon for any kind of support. And yeah, it's Mando's back. We're excited to see where it goes, despite the lukewarm episode that we both feel that it was. But yeah, we'll happily see where it goes. Anyway, it's been me, your boy Eli.
It's been me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.